May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you may have noticed that this month I usually combine the gospel reading with an example during the history of the church of somebody who lived through something that illustrates what Jesus was talking about. And so today I thought I'd talk about Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Lutheran pastor in Romania. He grew up in a non-religious Jewish family and was later brought to God by a carpenter in a small Romanian village. From 1944, Russian troops entered Romania and soon imposed a communist regime that required total obedience to its ideology. Richard Wurmbrand was one of the few pastors who spoke out against the communist takeover of the churches. The official churches at that stage were controlled by the state apparatus. So alongside it, the underground church developed in Romania, and Richard Wurmbrand became active in both of those. He also was involved in ministry to the Russian soldiers. Many of those soldiers were seeking God and did turn to Christ, but what were a few souls in comparison to a violently atheistic state machine? So in 1948, on the way to church on a Sunday morning, Richard Wurmbrand was kidnapped by secret police and imprisoned. In prison, Christians were regularly tortured. So I'll just mention some of what he wrote down, some of the more benign tortures, as the others I think are not, I wouldn't want to talk about them in church. Richard Wurmbrand in his book mentions that he didn't go into all details or anything because that's not what he wanted to do. But nevertheless, he wrote, Christians were put in icebox refrigerator cells, which were so cold, frost and ice covered the inside. I was thrown into one with very little clothing on. Prison doctors would watch through an opening until they saw symptoms of freezing to death. Then they would give a warning and guards would rush in to take us out and make us warm. When we were finally warmed, we would immediately be put back in the icebox cells to freeze over and over again. Thawing out, then freezing to within just 1 minute or two of death, then being thawed out again. It continued endlessly. Even today, sometimes I can't bear to open a refrigerator. He also said, we Christians were put in wooden boxes, only slightly larger than we were. This left no room to move. Dozens of sharp nails were driven into every side of the box, with a razor-sharp point sticking into the box. While we stood perfectly still, it was all right. We were forced to stand in these boxes for endless hours. But when we became fatigued and swayed with tiredness, the nails would go into our bodies. He said that what the communists had done to Christians surpasses any possibility of human understanding. I have seen communists torturing Christians, and the faces of the torturers shone with rapturous joy. The cruelty of atheism is hard to believe. When a man has no faith in the reward of good or the punishment of evil, there is no reason to be human. There is no restraint from the depth of evil which is in man. So Richard Wurmbrand said that over the years in several prisons, they broke 4 vertebrae in his back and many other bones. They burned and cut 18 holes in his body. After he left Romania a few years later, doctors in Oslo examined him. Seeing all this and the scars of tuberculosis, which he also had, they declared that him being alive was a miracle. He should have been dead for years. So the first time he went into prison, he was there for 8.5 years, and then he was released. He was allowed to continue his official ministry, but after 3 years, they imprisoned him for a further 5.5 years. Of course, the torture was not only physical, but also mental. In particular, prisoners knew that their families would suffer. Richard Wurmbrand's wife was also imprisoned when their son was 9 years old. That son had to live on the street, occasionally being helped by others who had to fear police retribution if such assistance was discovered. Mission in such a place is difficult and sometimes sorrowful. Richard Wurmbrand wrote that when Christians in the free world win somebody for Christ, they win a new member of a quietly living church. But when the underground Christians in Romania won someone for Christ, they knew that the person may well have to go to prison and that their children may become orphans. The joy of having brought somebody to Christ was always mixed with this feeling that there was a price that would have to be paid. And yet, even in their suffering, or exactly in their suffering, the persecuted Christians in Romania felt God's presence. Richard Wurmbrand wrote, "Often when tortured, we felt the tortures, but it seemed as something distant and far removed from the spirit, which was lost in the glory of Christ and his presence with us." In 1965, Richard Wurmbrand was ransomed, so, you know, people from the Western Church paid a few thousand dollars for his release and so that he could come to the West. And he accepted leaving the underground church behind to tell the church in the West at that stage about the suffering of their brethren and sisters in Romania and in the other nations behind the Iron Curtain. Seeing Richard Wurmbrand and the other Christians in the Soviet bloc suffer with courage, we can only say that they were disciples of Jesus who denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed Jesus. And of course, such suffering continues to this very day, and in many countries, being Christian is prohibited, or particularly, I've heard again that telling your children or having Sunday school is even worse than anything else. So what are our small problems in comparison to that? For many of us, being Christian is seen as socially quite acceptable, certainly nothing we have to suffer for. And if people disregard our opinions because we are Christians, if they make snide remarks, if they tell us that we are a bit stupid, really, what is that in comparison to what Christians across the centuries had to suffer? Yes, it doesn't feel good if something as personal as our faith is ridiculed, but if that is the cross we have to carry, it is a light burden indeed. And what about all the other difficulties that life throws at us? Well, we know that life is not easy, but these are really just the ups and downs all humans have to endure. What if our health is not as good as we had hoped? What if we struggle to make ends meet at times? What if we can't send our children on the bus to see their grandparents? What if we don't get the time to do the things we really wanted to do? These are not important things in the great scheme of things. Yes, some of those may worry us, at times even overwhelm us. But we also need to look at the bigger picture, the greater perspective. And it is in Christ that we get that perspective. He asked us to follow him, to put our trust in him, to receive God's forgiveness through him, and that involves taking up our cross. So the question is really, why do Christians suffer? Well, after all, we know that they have suffered always. Why was it like that from the time of Jesus? We read it in the Gospel, we read it in the Acts of the Apostles and in the letters. We know it from throughout church history. And of course, the people of God suffered even before that. Why did Elijah and many of the prophets have to suffer for doing what was right, for doing the will of God? Well, the simple answer, in a sense, is because there is evil in the world, and this evil reacts against God's good purposes, against people putting their trust in God. At times, such evil is far more rampant than at other times, reacting vehemently against God's goodness. And whatever good intentions lay behind it, the communist system of the Soviet bloc was characteristically godless. Of course, it is at times such as those that God can give immense strength and endurance. Richard Wurmbrand talked of a beauty in the underground church that he could not find in the comfortable churches of the West. Indeed, at times it is when we are comfortable that it is the hardest to keep faithful, to keep focused on the true purpose. In our relative ease, at times it's harder to find joy in true faith than in times of suffering. Maybe our cross today is to keep focused on what is important in a world where there are thousands of distractions, unceasing information, and in which Christians, at least here, are not violently persecuted, but they are continuously ground down by being told that they are just another consumer or just another example of a particular identity group. Maybe our cross, in a sense, is to be faithful to Christ in the daily difficulties and the social pressures that push us to build walls against the uncertainties and insecurities of the world. Richard Wurmbrand actually suggested as much in his book. He said that Christians in the more comfortable world can help others first by leading the lives of consistent Christians, by walking in fellowship with the invisible God. He further suggested that prayer for the persecuted and the persecutors is the task of every Christian. And then there is the identification with the suffering of others by providing help. So Jesus did not avoid suffering when he was doing the things of God. Through suffering, he would overcome the evil of the world. Through suffering, he would die for our sins so that we would be forgiven and be set free. Through suffering, he brought reconciliation between humanity and God. Jesus did not flinch away from suffering. He showed that God's way was through suffering to peace, through agony to victory, through weakness to strength. It goes to the heart of why God's kingdom is so different from the kingdoms of this world. The God who suffered overcame the mighty. The one who was downtrodden brought peace. Notice how Jesus, in our gospel reading, not only talked about suffering, but also about his resurrection. Because through that suffering, through the resurrection, the suffering made sense. Jesus went from apparent defeat to triumph. Therefore, those who follow Jesus Christ in suffering also go with Jesus through that suffering to God's glory. Suffering is not the end, but it often is the way home to God, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Amen.